Hadi bakalım.
This week, the Connecticut Supreme Court has refused to hear Alex Jones' appeal on his $1.5 billion settlement around his Sandy Hook controversy that's been evolving over the last several years, and we're going to get all into that situation. Alex Jones appeared on Tucker Carlson yesterday and had a lot to say about it, some breaking revelations that came out of that. So we're going to get into it, aren't we, David?
Yeah. Welcome to the Secure Containment Information Facility. Please like, subscribe, drop a comment, let us know where we're on or we're off. We'll see if this one goes public or not. We'll see.
We will see.
Touch on some touchy topics here.
Perhaps. I mean, there's certainly deep state implications here. Obviously, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, a lot of collusion and stuff going on to really frame Alex Jones as this evil guy. In fact, he was, as we're going to get into, classified by the Obama administration as a domestic terrorist, which is crazy.
That is insane.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. It's a guy, I mean, don't get me wrong, very controversial opinions.
Sure.
But they're American opinions. They're opinions held by an American.
Yes.
You would think that the Obama administration, since it is being run by a constitutional scholar.
Wink, wink.
would have a little more sensitivities to the First Amendment and the implications of taking a journalist and put him on a list to be investigated by the FBI.
Now, to be fair, he may or may not even be an American, so we can't necessarily expect him to uphold the same values that we have.
Where are you going? Alex Jones not American? Oh!
No, I'm just back referencing the birther controversy.
Yeah, the birther controversy.
Which
yeah,
I believe there was some recent revelations on, too, but we were not going to get into that.
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, there were some hearings. I think it was in Arizona, Hawaii. I don't know. I forget, but we're not going to go into it.
Okay, all right. Alex Jones. So, this is a censorship story, right? This is the implication that the government has been going about doing something to stop Alex Jones.
Yes.
And then why?
Yes.
Is it because he's a prophet?
Well, he did call 9/11 months before it happened.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Like how, I mean, you could see it, you know, you could, it, like, it was also in like a, what book was it in? It was in a Tom Clancy book, something about terrorists flying an airplane into World Trade Center and stuff like that. That was in the early 90s,
right? Oh, for sure. And I mean, it was also, there were references to it in the show 24, which was hugely popular prior to 9/11. And also, as Alex Jones mentions in his interview with Tucker, there was another show where he had a relationship with one of the directors or writers on the show.
Writer, yeah.
And was
for the X-Files.
Was it X-Files?
Well, it then turned into Lone Gunman.
Lone Gunman, that's right. It was the spinoff show. This writer was handed a script, basically a story outline for an episode where a, you know, rogue terrorist organization attempts to fly a jet into the World Trade Towers. But in that show, they are successful at thwarting that plot by remotely controlling the airplane away from the towers.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So a bit of pre-programming here, David.
Pre-programming. That's a pretty good case for pre-programming. But that said, if you're right now you're suffering from a, oh my God, they're going to get into conspiracy land, that's not this episode. But do check your normalcy bias, because just because it isn't normal doesn't mean it didn't happen.
That's right.
Watch out for that.
And if you look at Alex Jones' track record, even with whatever preconceived notion you have of who the man is, how he behaves, what he's said, they're turning the frogs gay.
Interdimensional vampires.
Satanic occult cabal. Yeah. He has been right a lot. Like, that's just objectively true. And the thing about that is, it's all on the record. He's been publishing stuff since, the early 90s? Mm-hmm. Like, he's been on the air for a long, long time, starting on Public Access TV, going all the way up to a syndicated radio show. Now he's all over the internet. And that is part of the problem. This guy has a huge voice. He is completely contrary to the aims of the globalist agenda, and has been forever, and has called out a lot of their plots and plans along the way, assuming you think that they're plots and plans.
Well, and shape the culture and the dialogue. The fact that we use the word globalist is an Alex Jonesism, right?
Perfectly true.
Yeah,
perfectly true.
I mean, that's like a Steve Bannon, Alex Jones kind of orbit, but it's there for to describe a phenomena that otherwise we would not be sensitive to or have the lexicon for if it weren't for people like Alex Jones.
Right. And he's been banging this drum for so long and shaping the culture in this way for so long that he is the primary threat to those interests, to the global interests because he's waking people up to the reality of what's happening. Mm. What is becoming more and more evident has been the reality of what's happening.
Yeah. So, and if you're an Alex Jones fan, don't be surprised if I'm ignorant of things, because I'm not an Alex Jones fan.
As much as he may look like him in 20 to 30 years.
Hey, now, I'll be much healthier. I'll be new Alex Jones, not old Alex Jones. Yeah.
You're the Maha version of Alex Jones.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you've listened to him quite a bit. You know his story as well as anybody. And this is going to be a fun episode. I'm really pumped on it.
I am too. And actually, you know, I may know his story better than a lot of people, because I do remember my good friend Jesse Barney, former business partner who is hopefully listening to this show, had a box, a large cardboard box full of like 20 plus copies of all of Alex Jones' DVDs at the time.
Whoa.
You know, we're talking Prison Planet, Endgame, like the classics, dude.
Yeah.
And I wish I still had them. I might have them somewhere. I hope I do, because I would really love to have those for posterity.
They're right next to your copy of Gladiator, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, oh,
right,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, 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 for sure. It's like, no, never mind. Not going to go there.
Enough Alex Jones nostalgia enough bandwagon.
It's good. It's good.
So what happened? So, okay, the judge shut down the lawsuit.
Yes, that
from
is that
being
is,
appealed. Correct?
Right. That is present day. That is has just happened.
So we talked about this some time ago, and at the time it was, well, the bankruptcy is going to happen. His stuff is going to be. So what's the story? Where
yeah. We so I think in order to understand it, we got to go back in time just a little bit to kind of the origin of this. Mm. And I'm not going to lay it out as thoroughly as Alex Jones has, because he's covered this like ad nauseum. But the basic facts of the story is during the 2016 campaign, the Hillary Clinton campaign took out a $20 million ad buy to demonize Alex Jones around things that they purported he had said regarding the Sandy Hook school shooting.
Mm.
Alex Jones denies saying the things that they said he had said. He was more quoting what other people had said about it, like not being real, right? Mm. Like basically saying like this was all a false flag, a hoax, whatever.
Yeah, remind me, it had something to do with crisis actors, right? Like the parents were crisis actors, that they weren't actually the victim's parents.
Right. There were some photos that where a particular person looked like they had appeared in multiple of these types of events.
Mm.
Hard to prove with, you know, just photographs and whatnot, especially back then, you know, camera technology wasn't what it is today, even in 2016. So anyways, he was...
this was 2012, correct? When Sandy Hook was.
It was in 2013, I believe. But this ad was taken out during the 2016 election in the lead up to Trump's first run.
That was an interesting part of it. I did not know. Yep. Okay, so the story is to get up to from Sandy Hook to then is that he covers Sandy Hook, covers it mentioning a lot of things that are going on around the internet, like the theory then and some of the more controversial theories.
Yes.
In 2016, Hillary Clinton campaign takes out ads
against Alex Jones.
Against Alex Jones running for president to connect him to Trump to Alex Jones, and therefore to drive down Trump's numbers.
Correct. They were trying to basically pull down Trump by tying him to Alex Jones and all these things that they said Alex had said about Sandy Hook.
Because Trump had appeared on InfoWars at some point.
Was he a regular
contributor on InfoWars?
No,
solid is that connection?
I think it was really just that Alex Jones was a Trump supporter at the time.
Really?
To some degree, at least.
Whoa.
And they were just trying to create this kind of spurious connection between the two in order to pull the campaign down.
Only a campaign with too much money would ever be like, okay, we're going to attack a guy because he also likes the guy that we're trying to run against. That's a terrible campaign strategy, right? It's so tenuous of a connection.
Yeah.
But when you get flush with $1 billion and all the corporate media on your hands, you could just be like, well, I don't know, $20 million. Here we go. Holy cow.
Yep. That's crazy.
So he's a victim of a Hillary Clinton machine.
Correct.
In 2016.
Correct.
Okay.
Which was an attack on Trump. And that plays in a little bit later. But so fast forward a little bit. Alex Jones is sued by... the Everytown Foundation, I believe it is, and a variety of other entities, both in Connecticut, where Sandy Hook Elementary is, and also in Texas, where his studio is. Mm-hmm. And he's dragged through these court cases, and these court cases are unlike any other court cases that have ever taken place. He is like basically railroaded across the board, held in default basically by the judge, basically saying they accused him of having all these secret plans, you know, being paid by these shady entities and all this stuff.
It's not illegal to have secret plans.
And they were like, give us all the documents of your secret plans.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, I don't have secret plans. So they were like, you're in default for not providing us the evidence of your secret plans that you don't have.
That doesn't make any sense.
So basically they just said,
so this is this. Okay. So you can impede discovery and that is a crime.
Sure.
But it's not like a $1 billion crime. It's like, I'd be held in contempt of court, right, if you're impeding the process, but you have to have material evidence of impediment, right? Like an actual action you took to keep people from discovering something that they should have access to in a court procedure.
Right. And there was not that. There was not that. But it went
along. We're going to say that a lot, and I think this conversation. Yes.
You're going to say how the law should work, and then we're going to say, but that's not what happened.
Okay, all right.
That's just going to happen a lot.
All right.
So essentially, he is put in this position in these court cases where, and I'm no legal scholar here, so you can correct me when I'm going astray here, but to my understanding, he can't defend himself when he's put under default or held in default.
Okay.
They can't submit any evidence. They can't, he couldn't defend himself.
Really?
Almost in any way. It was like they had just tied him to the stake and they were just going to set it on fire.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
So anyways, he's going through all this stuff. They've fabricated these allegations that you know, he was sending people to the Sandy Hook victims' homes and you know, inciting people to pee on graves and things like this. Like really heinous stuff. Like they've made up a ton of stuff about him.
Was there material evidence that people did indeed do those things? Like those are documented events?
Alex Jones contends that those things never happened. And I don't know that there's any evidence to support that they did.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if he's wrong about that, incitement too usually requires a fairly high standard of evidence, meaning like you can't prosecute Trump for inciting January 6th because he said, you know, we're going to fight.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean there's a big difference between that and go to the Capitol and breach your way
break in and stop them
and
from
steal stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. There's a huge, that gap is why they couldn't go after Trump for incitement.
Right.
That's also why we can't go after Democrats for inciting, you know, terrorism on Tesla factories and charging stations and Tesla owners.
Right.
Because they're saying, you know, generic, you know, we're going to go in the streets and we're going to hold the administration accountable to, you know, destroying democracy. The right can make noise out of that, saying that's incitement, but it doesn't meet the legal standard.
Right.
Because the legal standard is high because of the First Amendment.
Yes.
So they didn't try to make a case that he was indeed doing an incitement to violence against Sandy Hook victims, probably because that's a really hard thing to prove. For sure. Unless his language is very direct on that.
For sure. But again, the problem here is being held in default. He can't defend himself really against those things. It's more or less just like a reading of the accusations against him with no opportunity to defend himself.
What does that even mean?
It's crazy. So they go on to basically in these lawsuits, grossly exaggerate the amount of money that he has personally, that InfoWars is worth, etc., to get to what was the crazy valuation of this settlement, which ended up being $1.5 billion.
Hmm.
Which...
That's... I didn't realize he was a billionaire.
Exactly. I know.
He's you not think he'd be on a Forbes list someplace?
He's on a Forbes list. I can't find him. He would be.
Okay. All right. So I got it. So to being held in default in court typically means a party has failed to take a required action. That makes sense from like if they're accusing him of failing to facilitate discovery.
Sure.
Within a specified time, such as not responding to a lawsuit, missing a court appearance, or failing to comply with a court order. Court order would be a discovery.
Yeah.
This can lead to a default judgment where the court rules against the non-compliant party, often granted the other side's claims without a full trial.
Right.
That makes sense why he can't defend himself, right? So, whoa.
So it's basically like fast track to guilty.
So think about it like this. They concoct a theory that he has documents he doesn't have and then goes into default. The judge has to make that decision. So if the judge is at all biased against...
Which Alex Jones would contend she very much was.
That would mean that therefore they just grant their accusations against him and hold him in... Wow.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Whoa. Exactly. What an abuse of the court system. That's crazy.
It gets so much crazier, dude. I mean, and you saw it, but it gets crazier, guys.
Keep hitting me.
Okay. So after they come up with this really insane amount of money, mm-hmm. right?
To demand of him.
Yes. That he pay to the victims of Sandy Hook for all of these false claims that he supposedly made.
Uh-huh.
They say, we don't want his money, actually. We just want to shut down InfoWars.
But you can't do that because we have the First Amendment.
That's right. And the judge says, no, you This is a civil case.
That's how courts work.
This is for money. This is for a settlement, right?
Yeah, right.
You have to take that.
This right? isn't England. You can't just say you no longer get to speak. That's right. not how it goes.
Right.
Right.
So, and this happens multiple times throughout this. So anyways, a 3-year bankruptcy ensues between when the case started and present day. And along the way, they still don't want the money. They just want him shut down. They want him off the air so he can't say any more tremendously hurtful things about Sandy Hook, uh-huh. which he like barely ever mentioned too. Like, yeah. this is not something he like made a career on or spent a lot of time talking about or had a lot of guests on to talk about. Right. It was a moment in time. He talks about other things in far excess of yeah. this.
So, and there was an interesting moment to check out too, is when he was on Joe Rogan a couple years ago. He really dug into this and got into it, and he yeah. took I think a reasonable responsibility for like, hey, look, I was reading stuff off the internet. I didn't realize how big an audience I had or what the collateral consequences might be. And I was just reporting on what I saw people saying.
Yes.
And him saying that it wasn't his theory. It was other people's theories. It was just something he was reporting on. That is, of course, normal behavior out of a media personality.
Sure.
Right? Especially if you look at all the times The View has had to retract something they've said on television.
Yeah.
Right? That would be the process you would normally see where they would, if there was a potential libel case, your lawyer would say, hey, retract this.
Yeah. Perhaps he should have listened to Douglas Murray and not spoken because he wasn't an expert.
But, you ever been to Sandy Hook? You ever been to Connecticut? Which he said he's never been to.
So he shouldn't have been talking about it. Fair point, Douglas Murray. All right.
Okay.
So the new revelations that he revealed on this episode with Tucker is that new documents from the DNC, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, say that they, A, came after Alex Jones to demonize Trump, mm-hmm. to try to kill his campaign. They ran ads on social media saying that Alex Jones is attacking them, the left, mm-hmm. and used it to raise hundreds of millions of dollars on the back of these claims
right.
of what he said that he didn't say.
Right, so you can visualize it. Like, they put out this thing that says Alex Jones is a bad guy, and then they do the fundraising email to their list that mm-hmm. says, we beat up Alex Jones, and they're like, oh, Alex Jones, he's a bad guy, he's Trump guy, and they start donating.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what we're describing.
Exactly, and okay. that's a common fundraising tactic, right? Somebody
right.
says something ridiculous, you use it to raise money.
Right.
But they raised a lot of money on this. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Alex Jones is taken off the internet. There are other various lies spread by major news personalities. Lester Holt in particular said that Alex Jones was calling for people to get rifles to kill people on the left, which he never said. His assertion is what he said was, the left is coming for you. This was Antifa era.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, you need to have your rifles ready for when they come to try to burn your house down.
Yeah.
Like, he was encouraging people to defend themselves.
Imagine for a moment just that family when BLM was there and they had like the shotgun. He had to leave the lady with the pistol.
Yeah.
Out front. That's what's in Alex Jones' head at
right,
that point, right?
Exactly.
They're talking about like your physical property. Don't become a victim.
Right. The McCloskeys, was that who that was?
Oh man, I don't remember. They
got kind of really famous.
They did.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
I hope they just faded into obscurity and they're living their normal life again.
Okay. Joe the Plumber situation.
Exactly.
Start a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm derailing you.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I'm sorting through these notes because it was a lot, and Alex Jones talks fast, so I had to really shorthand this. Mm-hmm. So anyways, they win the show trial, right? The claimants, what would you call them? The plaintiff
yeah.
wins the trial.
Right.
So holding Alex Jones to this settlement. Then the undercover video comes out. And this is the one that we referenced in episode 96 on our show, mm-hmm. talking about Sound Investigations sent an undercover operative to go on a date with this guy from the FBI who basically said, we were out to get Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. We wanted to take him off the air. We didn't want his money. We wanted to take him down.
Yeah.
So now we have not just the Sandy Hook organization, but we have the FBI involved in this.
Yeah. Which was an interesting claim at the time, right? We covered it because it was so interesting,
yeah.
right? Because he says the FBI investigated him, couldn't find anything illegal, and therefore went to the families to encourage a civil suit.
Right.
Which is what ended up happening.
Right.
So like, that's really interesting. But we didn't have a confirmation
right.
of that. We didn't have that secondary, like a document or where the funding came from or the order from the president to make that case. And are you saying that we now have that?
Yes.
The documents that suggest that
yes.
internal to the organization.
And exactly. And Alex Jones even references from the trial, he says he was watching the chief counsel for the plaintiffs, who was also an FBI agent, say on the stand, he was asked, "You went and got the suit against Alex Jones?" And he said, "Yes, he went and set it up." He went and set it up.
Yeah, so with that, okay, that is so illegal.
Yeah.
So think about it for a minute. You're weaponizing the justice system in order to go after a person who is protected by the First Amendment as a member of the press to speak because you don't like what he's saying and in his politics, functionally.
Yep. Exactly.
And that was set on the stand, and the whole courtroom didn't set on fire, and everyone didn't shriek, but the First Amendment.
Well, closed courtroom, I believe. There was no coverage of it at all, which you would have expected. If it was an Alex Jones situation, they probably would have broadcast every second.
Well, you think the judge would then say, like, well, the entire suit's thrown out, right? Like, of course.
If they were in any way impartial. Yeah. But obviously they're not. This is a targeted, coordinated operation on multiple fronts to take this guy down. And he references multiple times, he's sort of the tip of the spear here because he is this huge cultural icon in this space. If they get him and they set a precedent for him, A, it has a chilling effect on everyone else, but B, it sets up the likes of Tucker Carlson or Joe Rogan or other major personalities who have influence in this space to be next.
Mm.
So it really sets a terrible, terrible precedent for First Amendment protections in the United States.
Mm.
So the next piece of it is, and this is all taking place during the Biden administration. 3 days after Trump gets sworn in, Alex Jones' team files a FOIA request for his trial file. All the documents pertaining to his case. And they get a disc in the mail about a week later, and it's got 196 different investigation files on it. 196.
Whoa.
And these are investigations of him and InfoWars and his people and in his orbit.
And including human intelligence, right? Like trying to get people into the organization in order to...
Correct. Attempted infiltrations.
Wow.
Hacking of surveillance cameras.
Whoa.
Sabotage. Of various operations, a lot of really interesting stuff. Also referencing weekly meetings taking place at the FBI field office in Boston about Alex Jones as being categorized as a terror threat, a domestic terror threat. Basically making it so that they can do whatever kind of dragnet spy operation they want on him.
Wow.
So an American citizen, unbeknownst to him, without any due process, without any sort of, protection under the Constitution is being spied on by his own government.
So what this evokes, reminds me of, is the 1970s, right? Operation Chaos, Operation COINTELPRO, and the effort to shape the media landscape with Project Mockingbird and others in order to get the policy outcomes you want.
Yes.
Now, those are all supposed to be governed under the Surveillance Act that places Congress to oversight of the intelligence agencies. I wonder if Congress knew.
Somehow I doubt it.
If those committees knew.
Maybe. I mean, that'd be a really good question. Yeah. I would love a FOIA request of congressional records around this situation.
Yeah.
Because Obama made Alex Jones not just a terror threat, but the top level 3 terror threat. Like the most dangerous terrorist class in the United States. Insane. Absolutely insane. So, Whoa. So yeah, let's see here.
And to be clear, Obama's motive on that is because they want to stifle the Tea Party and the things that were fueling the rise of populist right figures.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yep, exactly. So shortly thereafter, another FBI contact of Alex Jones says, go look in the Federal Register for money going to the Sandy Hook Foundation and who sued you. So he's like, okay, I will do that. They find $4 million in payments from the Department of Justice to the Sandy Hook Foundation, the Everytown Foundation, right after the suit started.
So Everytown is a foundation set up after Sandy Hook for the families.
Victims' families.
And then the DOJ, or the FBI.
I think that's right. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Okay, the FBI encourages a lawsuit. They fundraise off the lawsuit and fundraise off the advertising around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the DOJ cuts checks directly to this at the same time?
Yes. And during. There were two payments sent after that initial $4 million payment.
So this is prior to DOGE. So I'm sure there's no like written justification for the money.
I'm sure not.
But I wonder what it is. Like, why would they do that transfer? I mean, because that's not typically the role of your executive branch to compensate victims, if that's what it is, right?
No.
So what?
Yeah.
But
pretty weird.
Well, I mean, think about USAID. Think about the use of soft power internationally.
Mm-hmm.
Does this fit into a soft power play to shape American discourse?
I think it certainly does.
Noting that the same families also sue Remington and bankrupt Remington at the same time, which I had forgotten about.
Yeah.
On the craziest legal theory, right? Which is like, if you get into a car wreck with me, I sue Ford for producing the car in which you wrecked me with.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is an insane precedent to set as well.
That is not legal, by my understanding of how we think about liability. Woo!
Yeah. So this constitutes, like, in my view, fairly substantial evidence that the DOJ itself was persecuting Alex Jones, you know, basically a political opponent in this case. So and then they do something very unique, and I don't know all the intricacies of this because this is outside of my scope a little bit here, but the DOJ basically makes this like a corporate or like a bankruptcy case, which it ultimately is sort of, but they hired a U.S. trustee, which I according to Alex Jones is not customary for this sort of thing.
They
informed this trustee who's managing this bankruptcy to hire an armed security company to go to his studio and to shut him down, which isn't exactly like if you were in it for a settlement, which we obviously know that they're not, like they would have to know, okay, this studio is not worth $1.5 billion. They need to continue to make revenue in order to pay the victims' families for this injustice, right? They're not going to do that if they're shut down. But of course, we know they want them shut down. So the DOJ instructs the trustee to send an armed security company to the studio to shut it down. So the DOJ is now saying, we want to shut this company down.
Why would it be an armed security company? Why wouldn't it be the FBI or local police? That's like really that would question. Be more normal, right? Because
it would be.
Typically, the enforcement branch of the Justice Department is the FBI.
Would it be because they know it's not legit?
But that's also weird, right? Because it's like, if you ask an armed security company to do it, they have less legal rights to violate person and property.
Fair.
Yeah, they're more constrained. So I don't understand. Okay, so was there a court order to give them this power to do so would be the question, because that's what would do it. But even then, court orders are typically executed by like the authorities that are empowered for that, and that's not typically private security.
Actually, the complete opposite. The bankruptcy judge stopped the shutdown, said you can't do that. So and this is a different judge from the one who made the settlement. This is a different judge. Bankruptcy judge says, nope, you can't do that. You can't shut them down. And this went back and forth forever. I mean, this is more recent history. This is in the last year or two.
Huh.
You know, Alex Jones pops up on my X feed, and I felt like every other week he was on there like, we're going to be shut down 9 o'clock tonight. Like, we need you guys to buy our product so we can pay, you know, our legal fees and like,
yeah. Stay I saw open. Some of that too, but I always kind of thought it was like fundraising. Well, maybe I'm too jaded.
That's tough because Alex Jones is always like hawking his products. That's a little bit of an annoyance for me as well.
Yeah.
But no, it was literally like, they're coming to shut us down tonight.
Whoa.
And in one case, like one of the security people on one of these teams was like a friend of his and was like, hey, we're supposed to shut you down tonight at 9 o'clock. Like, so Alex Jones was like sleeping in the studio. Whoa. Like he was staying on site at their building, like to prevent this from happening.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So anyways, then it gets to auction, right? The judge blocks shutdown multiple times and says, you have to auction this off as a normal bankruptcy proceeding should go to the highest bidder. Well, then they have this like weird sham auction that took place without the ability for Alex Jones to bring potential buyers to the table, because he had people on the line who were going to keep it open, who were going to keep running it and keep using it for the purpose that he wants to use it for. Well, and this is the whole time around when The Onion came out and said, we won the auction.
Yeah.
We now own InfoWars and we're going to turn it into this spoof of Alex Jones and we're going to make it all seem so ridiculous and do all the stuff that we're going to do. And apparently the new owner of The Onion is a former CIA person. Interesting.
Whoa.
Yeah. So anyways, the judge then basically after this happens, after Alex sounds the alarms on this, goes, this was not a real auction, and invalidates the result of that auction.
So it's just this back and forth.
It's a back and forth.
Whoa.
It's a back and forth. They countersued. There was no auction. They have to entertain Alex Jones' buyers. And then the judge was like, I'm fucking over this, kicking it to state court. So they kicked it to state court, and the new judge says she's going to shut it down. Yeah.
Wow.
So
and that's what happened this week.
That's what happened this week. And there's one final piece to this, and that is the piece around connecting all the dots of who's involved here. Mm. There's a law firm, a prominent left-leaning law firm called Paul Weiss, based out of New York, that very recently lost its security clearance with the administration coming in and taking away security clearances from people who were a part of persecutions of the Trump, you know, Russia collusion hoax and all that stuff.
Why does a law firm have a security clearance?
That's a really good question. I don't know. Is there a precedent for that?
I do not know.
I mean, I suppose if they have to litigate, you know, things that are sensitive to national security, then maybe.
Do we litigate things sensitive to national security? Is that a thing that happens?
I don't know.
That
outside of like with government, you know, justice personnel, I have no idea. But they had security clearance.
At least one way to think about it too could be, yeah, remember when we got into the accounting firm that was for some reason really well tied into the CIA?
Yeah. Remind me.
Called? I can't remember what it was called.
It was a consultancy.
It's been around for a very long time.
One of the big four. I'm totally blanking on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, well, it makes a lot of sense because if you're doing financial.
Is it McKinsey?
Oh, that
maybe it's
close.
McKinsey or Ernst & Young. No, it's not Ernst & Young. It's one of those.
Yeah, yeah. And we were making this case that, well, there's capabilities you have as a private actor if you're connected to there that you would want to have accountants who are assets of these, of intelligence.
Right.
Is that's what's happening here? Maybe it's like a private branch of intelligence.
Yes.
For the Obama administration to prosecute its, you know, political opponents. They mm-hmm. have the DOJ doing it. They have the FBI doing it. And then they got to bring in a third actor that's fully private in order to pursue that all the way through.
Right.
And that's this law firm.
Yep. Yep. It seems that way. And they've been involved in quite a few things.
Damn.
Particularly regarding the persecution of Trump with all these court cases that came up during the Biden administration.
Mm.
So they want their security clearance back. Yeah. So they said, give us back 50% of our business and our security clearance and we'll stop doing lawfare against you and your supporters to Trump. And we'll also spend $40 million on pro bono work that's non-political.
What does that mean?
Good question. So, I mean, like supporting nonprofits or individuals who maybe need free legal assistance in high-profile cases, but that aren't political. I can't think of too many like non-political cases where that would be true.
Yeah.
It's always like First Amendment cases or, you know, a Second Amendment case or something like that that get like that kind of support.
Huh.
Maybe it's like civil liberties stuff. I mean, even that's politicized.
I feel like we're looking into a side of the government that you otherwise don't see.
Yeah.
Which is a shadowy is not the right word. It's in the clear, but it's obviously not within the zeitgeist that we do this.
Yes.
That the government has connections to law firms who are pursuing government policy unofficially. But think of how weak that claim is. You know, like give us some contracts back and we will
promise not to do it again.
Yeah.
Good.
Especially because
okay,
you're not going to be president forever. You know what I mean?
Well, like, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why would you ever give them a security clearance ever again?
Well, I never would.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if Trump did. I think the assumption is that he did because Alex Jones seemed to, with this piece of it, be sounding the alarm on that. Like, don't do it or take it away again if you give it back. And the interesting thing about this is that what came out, and Alex Jones mentioned this, is that of the $40 million of pro bono work that they were going to do on non-political issues, $20 million of that, in their own statements, was allocated to Alex Jones, the case against Alex Jones.
To stopping that?
No.
Or to take his side of the case?
No.
Were for Trump to pursue the thing?
No. This private law firm who said, we're going to spend $40 million on pro bono legal work,
$20
million of that was budgeted to the case against Alex Jones.
Why would Trump want that?
He wouldn't, but they are assuming or hoping that he won't look into that.
Whoa. That is
They're
nuts.
Trying to pull the wool over his eyes in broad daylight.
No way.
Yes.
How could anyone in the Trump administration be so dumb as to not read the actual thing? And
it may or may not be something that is a top priority. They've got a lot on their plate. I don't know.
Whoa.
Maybe they're just hoping to slide it in there
and
keep doing what they're doing.
That's a crazy theory. Right? I mean, that doesn't mean it's not possible. Just meaning like it would require an absurd amount of malfeasance to like blow by that.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially given just how loyal Alex Jones has been to Trump and the Trump movement and all that kind of stuff to get them back. And they'll be like, we're going to use the pro bono work to get our security clearance back to prosecute in which we say we won't prosecute your people anymore, to prosecute Alex Jones.
Yes, it's absurd.
That is crazy. Sure. Yeah.
And so Alex Jones' appearance on Tucker was to talk about a lot of things, but was also very dominantly an appeal to Trump through Tucker to look into this.
That's wild.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. And clearly there is a lot of collusion that happened here, and that is probably still out there, that still exists with this Paul Weiss law firm and these other entities. I mean, we can't assume they're the only one.
Right.
I'm certain they're not the only one. DOJ, FBI, CIA, private law firm, you know, state level courts in Connecticut, the Supreme Court in Connecticut, which just said they're not going to hear the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is all, they're all working in concert.
Whoa.
This was very clearly a plan to take him down so that they could start chipping off the next people in line.
Hmm. What do you think is the weakest part of the case?
Against Alex Jones?
Yeah. Or no, at least in the whole theory of this is a plan from the government to silence him.
The weakest part of the case that it isn't a plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm going to disclaim this because I know Alex Jones says he has this documentation. He has all this stuff from the FOIA request.
Yeah.
And he was saying he was going to publish that stuff like when the episode came out, like by Friday, which is today.
Yesterday.
Right. Yeah. So as of the date of this recording, this stuff should be out there.
Right.
So without seeing that stuff and seeing what the material evidence of, like the documentation of it is, it's really hard to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
But it's hard to imagine claiming that if you didn't have the receipts, right?
For sure. Yeah,
enormous loss of reputation.
It's an insane claim to make without evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, does it match a theory of government that is sensible? Well, we're seeing it all over the world right now. So why wouldn't it be domestic? Are these people, you would have to imagine someone so egoistic that you can do this all over the world, and then they have the barrier of, well, we're not supposed to do this in the United States. And then they say, like, well, I'm Barack Obama. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
I got a phone and a pen, man.
I can drone bomb an American citizen. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Right. Right. So you're in that situation where it's tenable. It can check out.
It
is well within possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And according to Alex Jones and his legal team, they have an open and shut case for this being, you know, a violation of due process, a violation of his First Amendment rights, an absolute, you know, sham of a trial where he was not provided the ability to defend himself, all sorts of things. So it seems like where we go from here is some sort of countersuit, or probably, I mean, if the Connecticut, I don't know how this process works, the appeals process, but if the Connecticut Supreme Court will not hear his appeal, can it be elevated to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yeah, well,
bypassing
of course it can. Well, I mean, well, it wouldn't bypass them, but it would have to go to the Connecticut Supreme Court. This is only going to a state court. So,
but if they refuse to hear it, then how does it get to the Supreme Court? Can they just say no?
They
we're
appeal.
Not? That's it. They go to it. They go to the Connecticut Supreme Court. They say we're not going to hear it. They appeal. Goes to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, assuming. Well, no, it'd go to a district court.
District, sure.
Yeah, and then they would hear it, and then they would appeal to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
which would be wild.
The district court would be probably not very friendly, given that it's the Northeast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you imagine they refuse to hear it, and then eventually it gets to the Supreme Court.
Possibly. Assuming anyone accepts the appeal. If the district court doesn't accept the appeal, then you're done.
Then he just owes $1.5 billion,
and
it all stays.
Yeah, pretty much.
Insane.
Yeah. I'm not aware of any process once you're beyond that. I mean, you basically get one tier up, and...
I mean, I think that makes the case right there that people need to make a lot of noise about this because the implications are very serious.
Yeah. Well, that's like if the core push back its racketeering, right? Meaning a pattern of activity that is illegal in order to get an outcome that you're going for, whether that's like fraud or extortion or whatever. It's like, it's strange because it's racketeering in violation of core principles of the American Constitution.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a very unique case in that sense. There's not a lot of good incentives for any of the courts to pick that up at that point, though.
Are there not?
Well,
defense of the Constitution?
Well, no, I know. I mean, normatively, yes. But I mean, like, in describing who these people have been so far, no.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're picking up something to defend Alex Jones.
You know,
the guy who says that 9/11 is an inside job and all this stuff.
And if the court justices in a given state Supreme Court or district court like being invited to their limousine liberal dinner parties. Sure don't want to be hearing that case and having to
account for that.
Exactly. Yeah. Grapple with your conscience, your professional integrity, mm-hmm. and weighing that against your rabid desire to dismantle everything to do with Trump.
Hmm. Man, it's looking rough.
Looking pretty rough.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this episode should go public.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's do it.
I think we just send it straight public.
It was a good summary of the whole phenomena.
Yeah.
And I think the added context of, well, here's the legal process how it should be is worthwhile too, because it so far deviates from it. And it just begs important questions like, you know, our institutions are crumbling for lots of reasons, but at least one of them is this weaponization of the law in order to get political outcomes that are compromising people's true allegiance to the American institution, right?
Yeah.
And that's the first mover in this whole thing.
For
if
sure.
if you're doubtful of justice happening because of this case, that's the fault of the courts and the DOJ and the FBI and these things. If you're skeptical of the intelligence agencies, that's because of their fault,
right?
Not because you're being unduly skeptical,
right?
That isn't coming from nowhere. It's coming from actions and facts that are important.
And the courts should exist to protect our rights, not railroad somebody and remove them of their rights. And it actually gets even a little bit worse, because they're trying to claim in this case that they own the name Alex Jones. That they and the Onion tried to claim that they owned Alex Jones' Twitter handle, and Elon had to sue them to say, no, you don't.
Whoa.
So this then, and the way Alex Jones framed it up, is this then becomes a slavery case. They're trying to say, you can own my identity.
No, you can't.
You just can't.
That doesn't make any sense.
You just can't.
Like, it's like suing the Wall Street Journal and then getting to have the identity of the CEO of the Wall Street Journal. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It's just not.
And dude, like, it's so outlandish. You can hardly even believe it's real.
Yeah, right.
But it is, apparently. I can't even. And like, and Alex Jones says some crazy stuff. Again, but this would be absolutely absurd for him to come forward with this on one of the biggest podcasts in the world with Tucker Carlson without the receipts.
Yeah.
Well, and he's the receipts guy.
We'll see what the receipts are. And then additionally that, but I mean, just noting the actors at play that are the aggressors in this situation are relying on your repulsion of the idea that this is even possible in the United States to do the thing that they're doing.
Yes. You have to at least entertain the idea that this is possible and is happening.
Yeah. 100%.
Wow. And if we don't do something about it collectively, I mean, this is under threat.
Yes. Everything is.
Every ounce of free speech that might still exist in this country is under threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the point.
Yeah.
They want us to be Europe.
Mm.
They want to be able to put us in jail for Facebook posts. If anybody makes Facebook posts anymore.
That fits Kyle's theory from the last episode pretty well.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
It's problematic. So share this episode with your friends. We're going to try to get this one out there. Normally, this would be a members-only show, but this one feels pretty important.
Yeah, let's put it out.
All right.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you very much. For David Rand, I'm Joe Sheehan. This is Human Reaction. This has been The Skiff. We'll see you in the next one. Oh, and if you want to become a member, humanreactionpod.com. We'd love to have you in here all the time. Cheers.
Peace.